Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
There's a common phrase that we've heard in our culture, and how many have heard this phrase before? God helps those who help themselves. Have you heard that before? In fact, I think some people think it's biblical. They think that somewhere that's in the Bible. Kind of like, you know, isn't that John 3:16? And no, that's not John 3:16. God help those. In fact, that's really not in the Bible at all. It's never in the Bible. It's not there because God doesn't want us to help ourselves. In fact, when we start helping ourselves, we tend to make a mess of it. In fact, we need God's help to clean up the mess we've made when we've tried to help ourselves. You know what I'm talking about? That is not in the Bible. God heals those who have tried to help themselves. And that's what we're going to see today. In Genesis chapter 16, as we've been moving along in this journey through the life of what is we call Abram now, because his name hasn't been changed yet. But as we've been following his life, this man of faith also has proven to be just like you and I. A guy who at times has great faith and at other times tries to exercise and tries to figure it out and tries to do some things on his own, like he did when he went off to Egypt, when he came to Canaan and there was a famine, and all of a sudden he went off to Egypt and he told his wife Sarah, hey, they might kill me because of you. Go ahead and tell them you're my sister, kind of a half-truth, and I'll be honored because of you and we'll be protected. He was trying to figure it out himself, and he paid a price for that. But then he comes back and he exercises great faith and he honors God and trusts God when he and Lot were kind of having a family conflict and separated, and he trusted and said, okay, Lot, whatever you want, I'll just trust God because God promised me this land. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. I don't want a family conflict. I'm just going to say, God, I'm going to trust you. And in those moments, he had faith. And then when Lot was captured, there was faith where he went out after these armies that were coming in from the east and had been taken over the whole area, and they routed them and they got everything back, showed great faith. And there were times then where we saw where he had a little bit of fear, where he was a little bit afraid. And God said, don't be afraid. I'm your very great reward. I'm your shield. I'm your protector. See, Abraham is just, although in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11, he is a man that is in the hall of faith, Abraham also is showing that he is also a human side. And I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. That's good news for me, because there are times when I have great faith, and there are other times when I have to be honest, like we're going to read tonight, there are times when I try to figure it out and try to do it on my own, and how can I help God along, and I think I've heard God, and I think, but how is this going to work, and maybe if I just do this, and I have a tendency to make a mess. Am I the only one? No. And I thank God that he helps, that he comes in and offers grace and mercy. But tonight we're going to take a look, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. So if you have a copy of God's Word, go ahead and turn there tonight as we get into our study tonight in Genesis chapter 16. And as we've been moving through again, Abraham and Sarah in this passage decide to help themselves. Genesis 16, starting in verse 1 here, we're just going to read the first two verses. It says this: Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. That's very key. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Now notice, this verse opens with the problem. And what is the problem? The problem is that Sarai had not borne Abram any children. And 2 weeks ago when we were talking, we read about a promise that God had given Abram. Abram, like I said, had the great victory over the great kings of the east, but there was a little bit of fear and something had been happening. Maybe he refused to receive the monies and the spoils from the king of Sodom. He said, I'm not going to let him say that he made me rich. And maybe for whatever reason, there was something going on, because God appears and says, don't be afraid. We know that there was some kind of fear that was going on, but God said, don't be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm your very great reward. It was great news. It was a great promise. Yet there was something inside of Abram that says, that's great, but there's something more that I'm desiring. There was another promise that you made to me when I left Ur of the Chaldees. You made a promise that if I leave and I go to the land, then I don't know where I'm going, that it will be for my descendants, that you'll make me into a great nation. In other words, I'm going to have descendants, but I'm barren right now and I don't know how this is going to be. And he goes on to say that if my servant Eleazar, he's going to inherit. I don't even have a son. See, he had adopted a servant, Lot, who was his nephew who had come with him, who was probably an adopted son, had parted ways, had gone in another direction. And so Eleazar was kind of next in line, and God made a promise and said, no, 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 that's not my promise, Abram. That's not my problem. Eleazar is not going to be the one who's going to inherit. And instead, in verse 4, the Lord made this promise. He said, the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. So following that promise, they go through that covenant ceremony that we talked about, and no doubt that Sarai would have heard all that was going on. And she would have heard what was happening, and she knew the desire in her husband's heart to have a son, and she wanted to please. In that day and age, it was very important that you had children. That was a part of your status, and her barrenness was also a part of shame. And so here she is, and she's still in this place. She hasn't been able, the promises have been made, and for whatever reason, she hasn't been able to be the one to fulfill the promise yet. She's not getting any younger, folks. Not getting any younger. In fact, 10 years had passed. She was 75 years of age. 75. And she says, my clock is ticked out. All right, it is gone. I don't have a biological clock left. This is impossible. I don't know how this is going to be. And so, but she knows that Abram is waiting for a son, and no doubt she'd heard about it, and she was kind of disillusioned, and so she's feeling like a failure, and she's looking around thinking, what can we do? You know, one of the hardest things I think there is to wait on the promise of God. I think waiting and patience is one of the hardest things, isn't it? It really is. Waiting and patience is very, very hard. In fact, Richard Hendricks said this, second only to suffering, waiting may be the greatest teacher and trainer in godliness, maturity, and genuine spirituality most of us ever encounter. Man, I love that. Second only to suffering. How many times does God make us wait? Some of us feel like that's suffering, don't we? We say, what are you talking about? That's equal with suffering. When I gotta wait, especially in a culture that we live in where you just don't have to wait on anything, right? Whatever you want, you can have. I mean, some of you in here right now, if you wanted to, you could be online shopping while you're here in church. And you can have it delivered and it will be at your house tomorrow. Right? And I think Amazon's even working on some kind of a drone drop that it could be there by the time you get home. I mean, you don't even have to wait for groceries. You could be grocery shopping in here, drive over to Giant Eagle for the pickup, and there it is. They come right out. Walmart does this. I mean, you don't have to wait on anything anymore. We got instant everything. I mean, you want your coffee, you just go right over and you just hit the Keurig button if the thing's warmed up, and man, it just comes right. You got a bun, man, pour the water in, it comes right out. We don't like to wait on anything. And so when we have to wait on the promises of God, my goodness, and I can't imagine, because they didn't even have the kind of instant culture that we have. If this was today, boy, we'd really be trying to figure it out. God uses this. He uses waiting to mature us. He uses waiting to grow us. But what we see is Abram and Sarah are now waiting on God. Abram listens, and as Sarai shares the plan, she says, hey, remember we were in Egypt. Remember we were in Egypt. They gave us some servants. Remember Hagar, you know, she's my lead servant. She's been with me. And you know what? She's younger than I am. And you know, we don't really have the kind of, they didn't have the technology and the science today, you know, and those kind of things, fertility and all that kind of stuff. They didn't have any of that. They didn't have anybody. So this was kind of a surrogate. And it was common practice at that point that if you couldn't have children, it was common practice to take on another wife. Even a slave who would be considered a possession in your household to be able to marry her, bring her along as a slave wife, so to speak, so that you could then have a child. And so Sarai says, listen, God said in his promise, Abram, I'm just reasoning it out here, that it'll be by your flesh and blood. Well, she didn't say anything about me. Didn't say it'd be my flesh and blood, so maybe it's not going to come through me. I tried. Maybe the promise isn't coming through me. Maybe there's another way. And so here's what I'm proposing. And you know, Abram didn't say, no, 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 that's not the way it is. In fact, when I was doing a lot of study, there's a lot of parallels to this between what happened with Adam and Eve and the serpent in the garden. There's some parallels here. Eve is reasoning it out, and the serpent says, look, and she sees it. It's good for the eye, and it's good for eating. And she took some, and she gave it to her husband, and he ate also. Well, Sarah comes with this plan, and she says, this might be the way it is. And Abram kind of goes along and agrees. Well, let's try it. Maybe this is the way the promise is going to be fulfilled. Trying to reason it out. And friends, sometimes when we try to reason it out, that's when we step outside of faith and we begin to get ourselves in trouble because we begin to do things that God's never intended for us to do. Simply because we're not willing to wait on Him. Genesis 16, 3 through 6 says, so after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar, gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. And when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, you're responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. Now she's blaming him. See the parallels with Adam and Eve? We step in, we do the thing, and then we start to blame, right? That's a process of sin. When we step out and we begin to reason and we begin to do it our own way, then all of a sudden when it starts to go bad, then we start to blame. Who is to blame? So Sarai begins to blame. She says, you're responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. I put my slave in your arms and now she knows she's pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. And Abram, he is a leader of a man right here. Your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think is best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. See the problems of not waiting on God? See the problems that come when we don't wait on God? When we're not patient with His plan, when we get impatient and we try to figure it out and work it out on our own. Abram had taken Hagar as a second wife. She was a slave wife and she did conceive a child. But if we stop for a moment, you can just imagine what has happened here. All of the insecurity that now comes. If you take a look, you can see that Hagar has just realized, I was a slave and now I've been elevated to a wife. And my mistress was not able to have a child, but conceived in me as the child that will be the heir of my master. I don't need to take this kind of treatment anymore. I don't need to serve anymore. I don't need to serve her anymore. She wasn't able to do that. And look, I was able to do that. There's probably some insecurity in Sarai as well. Perhaps when she was infertile, maybe she was saying, God has not been able to conceive a child through me. But maybe in the back of her mind, she might have been thinking, Abram, it might be you. The problem may not be me, it might be you. But then when Hagar got pregnant, all of a sudden it was obvious that the problem was not with Abram, but there was the problem of barrenness with Sarah. And all of a sudden inside of Sarah comes the insecurity, because when we don't wait on God and when we step out on our own, we will find that insecurity and fear begins to rise up within us. And insecurity and fear is what causes blame. And insecurity and fear is what leads to relational conflict. And it happens because we step outside of God's plan. And we recognize that outside of God's plan, there is no security. Outside of God's plan, there is no peace. There is no peace. Try to do it on your own. There is no peace. So there's conflict that's going on. There's jealousy. We see pride. We see jealousy. We see misery. We see injustice being done. She begins to treat Hagar poorly. There's injustice being done. There are consequences when we don't wait on the Lord to fulfill His promise. When we put matters into our own hands and we try to help God out. Sarai is upset. Hagar is proud. Abram's passive. Sarai becomes abusive. Hagar becomes overwhelmed. It's kind of like a soap opera, isn't it? I mean, you could just imagine. This is a soap opera kind of playing out here. Like so much drama that's going on. And so Hagar took a look and she said, my goodness, I thought I had a ticket up. And now I find myself in a worse position. I, I, I'm not putting up with this anymore. And so what does she do? She begins to run away. Hagar says, I can't take this anymore. How many of you know that we can either fight or flight, right? And when we don't follow the plan of God, others get impacted. Others get hurt.
Yeah.
Hagar, who initially was just saying, you know what, I'll help my master's wife out. I'll help out. Then all of a sudden, pride rose up, and then she gets mistreated, and then she runs away. She runs away in misery and strife. Resulted in that. Genesis 16:6 says she fled from her. She just can't take the pressure. You know where she heads? The Bible tells us she's on her way back to Egypt. She doesn't know where else to go. She's on her way back home. Well, if she was a servant before, when she goes back home, she's probably just got a family that's a slave. They're not going to be able to help out. And now she finds herself pregnant going back, and she doesn't have a husband. Can you imagine the danger that she's in as she's trying to travel? This is not a good situation for Hagar. But Genesis 16:7 and 8, there is something that happens here that's very important for us to understand. Something that we're going to see. The very mercy and the love of God that we're going to see in the latter parts of this chapter that I think is absolutely amazing. Genesis 16:7 and 8 says, the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from? And where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she answered. Although we know the decision that Abram and Sarai made was a mistake, it was not a part of God's original plan or intention. What we see is grace and mercy. Hagar, an Egyptian slave, found herself in the middle of conflict that she didn't create. And as a slave and a servant of Sarai, I firmly believe that her intentions were to help until pride took over. Still, the treatment that she received and the refusal to stand up for the wrong, she was overwhelmed, she was hurt, she was abandoned, she was alone. She was in the backside of a desert on her way home, hoping for something, not knowing what. But this story is encouraging because, friends, if you are suffering, if you feel abandoned, you need to know that God is for you. You need to know that God sees you. You need to know that just like Hagar, God knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. He knows where you're alone. He knows where you are. And that's what we see, that God sees the affliction. And that's the first part that I want us to get, is that God sees our affliction, friends. God sees our affliction. God saw Hagar's affliction. The angel of the Lord found her, and I just think that's great. The good shepherd of the sheep is looking after her. God is seeking her. God is pursuing her. And friends, that's no different than you and I. When you and I run away, when you and I are ashamed, when you and I are fearful, when you and I are in affliction, when you and I are hurting, we know that we've got a God who pursues us. Our God pursues us. He pursued us through Jesus Christ, His Son, who came and gave His life on the cross, who came and endured the suffering and came on this earth. Why? Because He was pursuing us because of His great love. Friends, this is the God who sees our affliction. Just like the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Here it was, this lowly Egyptian servant girl who maybe thought that, man, there was just too much. She got lost. She thought she was too lost. She found herself in God's sight. Hagar could flee from the presence of Sarai, but she couldn't flee from the presence of the Lord. You can try to run from difficult circumstances, friends. You can try to hide from the Lord, but I'm going to tell you something. There's some irony in verse 8. The Lord knows Hagar's name. The Lord knows her name. He knows her station in life. That's what he said to her. He called her by name, and he said, servant of Sarai. He knew exactly where she was. He knew exactly her name. God knows your name. He knows your name. He knows your station. He knows where you are. And whenever I see a question in the Bible, I just love it. Whenever I see a question in the Bible, I can assume that God already knows the answer. When God's asking a question, how many know it's not because God doesn't know the answer? Right? I mean, look at that question that he said. He said, where you come from and where are you going? Where have you come from and where are you going? Maybe you need to ask that question. Where have you come from and where are you headed? See, when God finds us, when God finds us and He asks us these questions, it's for you and I to search our own hearts. Where have you come from and where are you going? Where are you headed? Some of us don't know where we're headed. We're running scared. We're running ashamed. We don't know where we're headed. We know where we come from. We don't like our past. We don't like what's going on. But we're just running and we have no idea where we're going. But God knows where He wants you to be. God knows where He wants to take you. This was a question that was to arrest Hagar out of her own affliction and misery and out of the confusion that was going on and the fear to say, hey, I know who you are. I know where you've come from and I know where I want you to go. You might not know your direction, but I do. I do. Where have you come from? And where are you going? And it's amazing to me because it's in this situation, in this bad situation of trying to escape, that then the Lord begins to work in Hagar's life. Dr. Gary Barnhouse writes this: if we seek to change our circumstances, we will jump from the frying pan into the fire. We must be triumphant exactly where we are. It's not a change of climate we need, but a change of heart. The flesh wants to run away, but God wants to demonstrate His power exactly where we have known our greatest challenge. Exactly where we've known our greatest challenge. That's what God desires. That's what God desires. Look at the difficult instructions now that He gives to Hagar. He gives some difficult instructions. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I could do this. These are difficult instructions. Look what He says to her. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. What? Hold on. Go back to your mistress and submit to her. But it comes with a promise. If you do this, this is what I plan to do. Listen, go back and do this, but this is what I plan to do. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son and you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. This is a good news, bad news situation. Let's talk about the bad news first. Here's the bad news. In our affliction, we need to submit to God and His plan. Hagar was told, you need to go back and you need to submit to your master's wife. Now, she wasn't being asked to submit necessarily to Sarai exactly. Ultimately, she was submitting to God and God's plan. See, whenever there comes a point in time, whatever it is, whether it's God's designated authority in your life, whether that be a parent or whether that be a boss or whether that be somebody else that is an authority in your life, you have to understand that God is not asking you to submit to that authority. He's asking you to submit to Him. You are submitting out of obedience. You are submitting to that authority out of obedience to the Lord. That's what it is. We don't like that word, submit. In America, we definitely don't like that word, submit. Submit to us is one of these things where we say, hold on a second. I'm not doing that. I'm going to stand up for my rights. I don't have to submit to anybody. I don't have to listen to anybody. You know what that's called? Rebellion. It's rebellion when we don't do that. Friends, obedience always comes before blessing. It always comes before blessing, and it really has to do more with a matter of the heart. It has to do more with a matter of the heart. I mean, you know, we don't like that word, but friends, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is full of submission language. It's full of it. 1 Peter is all about submission to authority in a time of trial. The Christians to whom Peter was writing in the book of 1 Peter were suffering. They were slaves under harsh masters. Some of them were wives under disobedient husbands. All of them were citizens under an unjust Roman government and a crazy Caesar by the name of Nero. All right, the guy was wacko. And yet, in the midst of all of those things, Peter writes this. He sums it up with one word, submit. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. It's all about humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And Peter talks to the servants and he says, submit to your masters, they're unjust. He talks to the wives, he says, submit to your husbands, even though they're disobedient. He talks to the people, the citizens, he says, submit to the Roman government. And the whole purpose of that is, listen, you've got to humble yourself, and you're humbling yourself not under their authority, for they are under me. All authority comes from me. You are humbling yourself and you are trusting and being obedient to me. And if you will be obedient to me, I will be with you. There will be a promise of blessing that will come, but you need to submit under my authority and under what I say, and you need to show honor and humble yourself. Why? Well, wait a minute, I don't understand. I don't know about the timing. He says, in the proper time, I'll exalt you. In the proper time, I'll make sure you get lifted up. And then he says, casting all your cares, all your anxiety on me, because he cares for you. That makes me nervous. I don't know. Cast it to the Lord. See, Hagar was told she had to go back to her mistress, the mistress that was mistreating her, the very one who was mistreating her. How can you ask me to do that? I promise if you will do that, there is going to be a blessing. I've got a plan. It wasn't my perfect plan, but I've got a plan. I've got a plan. That's God's mercy, that he has a plan. Humble yourself. Some people never grow in the Lord because they have a habit of running from difficult situations when God has put them there for training. Problems with parents as teenagers, they rebelled. Problems in a job, so they quit. Problems in a marriage, have conflict, walk away. Seek counseling from a counselor, don't listen to what the counselor has to say, I'm going to do it my way. Get in more and more trouble, more and more trouble, more and more trouble. Join a church. I can't get along with the people in that church. Go to another church. Can't get along with the people in that church. Don't like that pastor. Don't like this pastor. Got to go over here. Got to go over there. Listen, the problem is not with the pastor. The problem is not with the other. People get out of a marriage. They get into another marriage. They still have the same problems. Why? Because the problem is not in the marriage. The problem is with you. Uh-oh. I'm just being real. Because if we never deal with us and our disobedient, rebellious hearts that are unwilling to humble ourselves and follow what the Lord has to say, we will go and run from situation to situation and will always be a victim. If in your life you have a pattern of being a victim, the problem is not everybody else. The problem might be with your heart that is not submitted and obedient to the Lord. I'm just being real. Hagar was asked to do something that seemed unbelievable to us. How could you ask her to go back? Because God's hand was on Hagar. Even though it wasn't his plan, God's hand was on Hagar. And we don't like to read about Ishmael because we know generations later what that has produced and the conflict that has produced and the problems that has produced. And we say, God, I don't understand. Friends, it's not for us to understand. His ways are higher than our ways. But in this, what we see is Hagar was asked to submit. She was asked to submit and to go back. The good news is when we submit to God in our affliction, he blesses us and our descendants. He blesses us. There is blessing and obedience. The Lord graciously saw her in her affliction, and he saw it, and he said, concerning the son in your womb, his name will be called Ishmael. You know what Ishmael means? God hears. God hears. Every time she said his name, it was a reminder that God hears. Every time she said his name, it was a reminder that God hears. It was a reminder of God's faithfulness. And again, his name, he'd be a wild donkey of a man. He's going to be strong. He's going to be independent. He's going to be untamed, a fighter whose hand will be against everyone. In the last line of verse 12, it means both the east of and over against. Both were true of Israel, or of Ishmael's Arab descendants. Both lived in the east and over and in opposition with Isaac's descendants. The divine mystery, again, we don't understand why God chose to do this and all of these things. But again, his ways are not our ways. The application here is this. God allows U-turns in the desert, friends. When you and I are running away, God allows U-turns in the desert. Even though we run from God, if we will turn and submit to God in our trials, we will experience the blessings that he has. It is not the end. There are blessings that are there. We see a glimpse of God's mercy when we submit to him. Genesis 16, 13 through 15. She gave him the name She gave the name the Lord had spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. Excuse me. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well called Beer Lahai Roy, I don't know if I said that right, is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave him the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Hagar wouldn't have seen the Lord if he hadn't been for her trial. She wouldn't have experienced the Lord. She wouldn't have seen the Lord if it hadn't been for her trial. But in the midst of her trial, in the midst of her difficult situation, God gave her a vision of himself. And friends, it's in the trials. It's in the difficulties. It's in the hard times. It's in the times of suffering. It's in the times of mistreatment that we begin to get a vision of God. It's in those times that we really begin to see the presence of the Lord at work. We begin to see God at work. We begin to hear God at work because we're tuning Him in. There are times in those trials and in those moments, those are the times when we begin to see the mercy of God. And as Hagar is reflecting, as she reflects after this, and she says, oh man, God has revealed Himself. She gives God the name, and it's the God who sees. The God who sees. In fact, she's just learned that there's a God who pursues. Again, she didn't go after God. God went after her. There's the God who sees. He knew what was going on. He knew the trials. He knew the afflictions that were going on in her life. And yet he still knew the future that was to come. He was the God who hears. Just like the name Ishmael means, the Lord hears. It's just another reminder of the fact that God is aware of what's going on in our lives and our afflictions. The God who hears. And then the God who is real, she found a place, a well. She named that well Lahai Roy, Beer Lahai Roy. In other words, Beer is well. The well of God who sees. It wasn't a mystical experience that she had. It wasn't some dream. It was an encounter with the Lord. And friends, when you have an encounter with the Lord, you are not the same. You are not the same when you have an encounter with the Lord. God is real, and God will move in your life. And Hagar takes all that into consideration. And the Bible tells us that in obedience to the Lord, she went back. She submitted herself under Sarai, under Abram, and she trusted the plan of God. She trusted the plan of God. Dr. James Dobson tells of a time that he watched his daughter's pet hamster trying to gnaw its way out of its cage in what no doubt looked to be like hamster freedom. So here's this hamster trying to get out of the cage once free. But Dobson saw what the hamster did not, the family's pet dog watching expectantly from a few feet away. If the hamster had worked its way free, it would have met sudden death. The cage was really protection and blessing. Friends, we're often like the pet hamster. We try to break free from the confinement and the struggles and what we feel like God has us in. And I can't believe this, and I'm not free, and I want this, and I got to get out. And what we don't understand is that oftentimes God has us where He has us because He knows what's out there. And if we will simply remain submitted to His will and His plan, if we will simply remain in His will, if we will simply stay in His plan, we will experience blessing. Because when we go it alone and we step out on our own, we make mistakes. We make mistakes that have consequences. Abraham and Sarah's mistake to not wait on God and to put things in their own hands has had conflict that even is going until today. Even happens until today. And yet we see on the other side, we see Hagar who tries to run away, and God says, no, go back and submit. And as she remains under that authority and under that blessing of God, there is blessing that comes, protection that comes. So friends, I don't know what situation you're in tonight. I don't know what you're going through or what's happening in your lives tonight. I don't know what's going on, but you've got a choice to make. You can either wait on God, or you can try to take matters into your own hands and help yourself. For Abram and Sarah, when they took matters into their own hands and tried to help God out, created problems, created conflict, created insecurity, created fear, created family conflict and drama. It's lasting generations. But when Hagar was willing to submit and go back, stay under the authority ultimately of God, there was blessing and there was protection. So tonight, what are you going to do? Are you going to wait on God? Or are you going to go your own way? Let's bow our heads tonight. I'm going to ask those that are playing tonight to come. And we're just going to close just with a time of prayer, because maybe we need to just spend a little bit of time with God asking those questions tonight. Maybe God's asking you, just like He asked Hagar, where are you coming from and where are you going? In other words, what's in your past and where are you headed? You going to follow my direction? You going to follow my lead? Or are you going to go your own way? Father, tonight we come to You. We don't like to wait. And when we're in a situation that's uncomfortable and we think we got a better way, God, we don't like to wait. We're expecting something. We want something. Sometimes we try to figure out how we can make it happen. And God, I know in Your word, You're just telling us, You're reminding us to trust You. You're reminding us to stay obedient to You. You're reminding us to stay submitted to You. Father, we need You. We need You. And we need to learn how to wait on You and not take matters into our own hands. God, we make messes of things, but You heal messes. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. In the midst of our own messes, thank You for the grace and the mercy that You offer. And God, I pray that You would help each and every one of us, God, to remain obedient, to remain submitted to You. Because God, You know where we've come from, but You also know where You desire us to go. So Father, let us follow Your plan. Let us follow Your direction. Let us follow Your will, God. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.